3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it
also,
is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, friends. It's Thursday already. This week is scooting by. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Rongi. Good morning to all y'all. We got a phone number, 314-436-7900. Oh, George Wallace is in town. I just looked up at the TV. I see George Wallace. Friend of the show. He's been here before, you know.
Went to his show last year.
Yeah, that's right.
At Helium.
So we're open. We want to talk to you. So not George Wallace, the old politician. We're talking the comedian George Wallace. 314-436-7900. Also, you can drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app. Very easy to find us there. You can listen to KMOX and listen to all the podcasts of all the shows and Cardinals baseball live as it happens. As it so happens, we are also streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Follow us at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, a recent story about population growth in St. Louis slowing, and that is the entire area. Well, there's an effort to stop that. Kurt Weigel is with Greater St. Louis, Inc., and he'll join the show later.
And FEMA cost saving and cost controls may have slowed the response to Texas floods, according to CNN. We spoke yesterday with Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard. She said, meanwhile, here in St. Louis, the FEMA response has been good.
And the Cardinals lose to the Nationals. They will have the rubber match. That's what they call it. Rubber match of the series will happen tonight at Busch Stadium. They'll play this series. They'll play another one over the weekend. And then it is the All-Star break. So, can you believe it's already the All-Star break?
All-Star break. That means it's going to be Christmas before you know it.
I mean, it's...
That's what happens. So basically, Matt Pajeski, our producer, is laughing at me.
Well, it's true, though.
Skipping over Halloween. The best holiday.
It's not the best holiday.
It's a good holiday.
One of.
It is a good holiday.
One of my least favorite. I like Flag Day.
Is it another one of those holidays we don't get off? I think it is. We don't get off work for holiday.
Nobody gets off on Halloween.
Oh, now I feel better about not getting off.
Yeah, everybody's stuck at work on Halloween.
So, so the FEMA response, as far as we can tell from Shamim Clark Hubbard, Alderwoman, as Amy mentioned, was in studio yesterday talking about a number of things, including the tornado recovery and relief and everything that's been happening in the last almost 2 months since that storm happened. Apparently FEMA's been doing well, according to those on the ground. So that is good.
The other woman said that they have been responsive to her calls every time she calls, you know, any day that she calls. And she said yesterday about 90% of her time at work recently these days since the tornado has been focused on tornado reliefs. Minimum 90%. Of course, she's in Ward 10, which goes down to Clayton and Skinker through the Central West End.
Just think of it just north of Forest Park.
The tornado went through Ward 10.
Yeah.
So that has been the Alderwoman's number one task for a while. And she said that FEMA has done a good job answering her calls, the centers that they have set up for her constituents. So in St. Louis, it has been good.
Which is good news, and we are glad. Apparently in Texas, the story is a little bit different, and you know, we'll see what we can find out about that. So not a good situation, because that's been, what, we're talking about 120 people dead in Texas, and there's still a lot of people that are missing, so that death toll certainly is going to rise. But also there was a story in the Post-Dispatch today, Amy, about the City Emergency Management Agency that was hosting a workshop as the tornado was coming through St. Louis. And so the warnings, there's some discrepancy as to whether or not people were properly warned. It seems like they were not warned when our tornado came through town. And the press has been trying to get some information on that day, and they're having difficulty doing it.
Yeah, they are. So Joe Holloman wrote in the Post-Dispatch today about that workshop that did require the attendance of every one of the agency's employees, the agency being the City Emergency Management Agency, on that workshop. The workshop was not specifically related to emergency response training. Instead, it dealt with, quote, ways to learn and develop skills to increase agility and collaboration in city functions, and think about the power of creativity and challenge your mental models. So, I mean, a lot of corporate speak there. And so the agency had a sunshine request in order to find out what exactly went on. As a quick note, in light of SEMA's failure to do its job, newly elected Mayor Kara Spencer did announce that the SEMA chief, Sarah Russell, was placed on paid leave while they found a new chief. But this was the information that was in the sunshine request. One, the number of SEMA employees who attended the May 16th workshop and the total number of employees in the agency. Two, the SEMA organizational chart. Who's in it? Who are these employees? And three, records of the money that SEMA spent to host the workshop. Joe Holloman said that was it. That was the entire request. And given...
it's not a whole lot of information to ask for.
And he said that the mayor's office reported that SEMA had only 5 or 6 employees. So when you want a list of those 5 and 6 employees, an organizational chart of exactly what they do, and then how much money did you spend on the workshop, it should be a pretty quick request. They said there were some beverages and snacks that were at the workshop, but the workshop was paid for by a grant that the presenters themselves secured. So it didn't cost the city anything. So it should be pretty simple to figure this out. There was an automatic public record center response on the same day that they were sunshine.
Yeah. So we got your request.
We got your request. Yeah. We're going to transfer it to the appropriate department. And then the next week, May 28th, there was another message saying, hey, we're still reviewing it. We should have your answer no later than June 11th. And then on June 11th, it said, actually, we'll have it no later than June 18th. On June 18th, it said, we'll have it no later than June 25th. And it has gone on so forth and so forth. And yesterday, July 9th, was the new date for possibly getting information.
Which was yesterday.
Yep. And I don't know that that has happened yet. Well, that hasn't happened yet.
My guess is it has not happened since the story has been posted today. I think that I don't know why there's such a discrepancy here or why this is so difficult.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a staffing issue that there are a bunch of requests that everything is backed up. And I don't have the answer for that. That would be the only thing that seems logical unless they're trying to hide something. But it doesn't. To me, my impression of this current administration is that they're not really keen on hiding things purposefully, right?
You mean Mayor Spencer's
right,
new administration? No, yeah.
Because, I mean, she acted pretty quickly, and she seemed really upset in the immediate aftermath of the tornado, finding out what was going on with SEMA, that there weren't people doing their jobs that day. And she put one of them immediately on administrative leave, who apparently is still on administrative leave. So I don't think that there's to me, and I could be wrong about this, but it doesn't seem like there's an intent to hide something from us. But maybe there is. Maybe there's just they don't want something to get out. My guess, it's probably more along the lines of they are understaffed and they haven't gotten to this, but it seems like a fairly easy thing to tell the press about. If there's a Freedom of Information Act request, this shouldn't take very long to get.
No, and again, these people that are at SEMA, my understanding is the only person that has been let go was the head of it.
Right.
And that was when Mayor Kara Spencer found out what happened with the workshop and the lack of response.
And she did that pretty quickly.
So the other people there presumably have been there. At least since the Mayor Jones administration, you know, whether she appointed all of them, I don't know. But, you know, they've been there since that administration. They obviously operate as their own department / agency.
Right.
And I hate to feel this way. But when I say it is so St. Louis to be like, does nobody know how to do anything? Does anybody know what's going on? It feels like, okay, losers is a strong word. Feels like we've got about a bunch of doofuses and some pretty important positions that don't know how to do their jobs or maybe aren't interested in doing their jobs. Like when you think of the Sheriff Montgomery situation, Alfred Montgomery, it's insane.
My guy.
That's your guy, and it's insane. He's chaotic, and that's one area of the city. So now with SEMA not doing its job and having a workshop, and somehow somebody over the course of 2 months can't even tell you the names of the five employees who work there, feels like makes me roll my eyes. I'm sure it makes listeners roll their eyes and say, oh, that's so St. Louis. That's so us to just have a complete incompetence. Because we can turn it around because we have Circuit Attorney Gabe Gornow, who is pulling that office together, who is making new hires, who is prosecuting criminals and cleaning up the mess left by former Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. And it feels like every time you turn around, there's a new office or new department that feels like a, quote, rudderless ship of chaos. That's the sheriff's office, and now that's SEMA.
So it does give fuel to people who want to constantly criticize the city of St. Louis.
Or who even don't want to criticize
the leadership. It does.
I don't want to criticize it, but it's...
I think there are some people who, like, that's their whole thing, man. But it's just making fun of the city or criticizing the city.
But it does give fuel. Don't you feel frustrated?
I feel frustrated at times. I do wonder, you know, how certain people get promoted to positions or appointed to positions. And it's not just local, it's national too. It's around the state. I think it happens all over the place. But for a city that is trying to, recover is not the right word. Maybe it is. A city that is trying to make a name for itself or that wants to make a positive name for itself. It does feel like every step forward, there's something that makes you go, oh, come on, man. Like, I agree with you on that. And I don't know if it is incompetence. I don't know if it is, lack of ability, which I guess is incompetence, or if it's intentional. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's intentional. I think there are a lot of people here that truly want to do right by the city, mm-hmm. but there may just not be enough of them. And they may not have enough support either.
Yeah. Do you feel, and I know we got a break here, would it be fair to say, oh my gosh, we are the Chicago Bears of cities?
Oh, no.
Don't think so?
The Bears are far worse.
They're a rudderless ship of chaos.
I mean, they might be headed in the right direction. We'll find out.
Why are we not the Bears then? Who did the Bears just draft that you're excited about?
They fixed their offensive line, so things are looking pretty good there. They got a pretty good receiver. We'll see.
Okay, all I know is the last time you talked about the Bears, you said, you're depressed, you can't stand them, you hate them, but you love them, but we finally have hope. How is that not St. Louis? It's depressing, we get frustrated, but I still love the city, and hey, we have hope. We have a new mayor. We have a new circuit attorney. Maybe we are turning it around. Maybe St. Louis will make the playoffs this year. That's my question. Are we a playoff team? Forget a championship. Is St. Louis a playoff team? The city?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. We're not even sniffing the wild card. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji. Join us on the show, won't you? 314-436-7900. It says here on our rundown that Amy has rabies. We'll tell you more about that when we come back on KMOX.
Well, I don't have rabies, but rabies is around us. It's everywhere. Well, actually, it's not everywhere, but a bat found inside a Webster Groves home on April 3rd tested positive for rabies. That made it the first confirmed rabies case in St. Louis County for 2025. I know what you're saying. April 3rd was a lifetime ago, and there could be more rabies. There could be. But the reason why I bring it up is because the people in the home who found that they had 8 or 9 bats in their house and they were catching them, because if you find a bat in your home, you don't want to catch it yourself, like with a bag. You want to lock it in the room and then call health services, Department of Health, I guess, animal control. And because they have to capture those bats and they have to test them for diseases.
Yeah.
And did you know bats can bite you and you don't know it? They can bite you while you're sleeping and you don't know it.
But do they?
I think they do. That's how vampires are born. I don't know. All I know is that they can, because if you find a bat in your house, you have to get a rabies shot because you may have been bitten and you don't know it. So anyway, one of these bats tested positive for rabies. So the owners of the home had to go get rabies shots. So another thing is, this couple already spent $4,000 to have the bat problem fixed last year, and the bats came back. $4,000 to have the bats kicked out of their house, and they came back. So anyway, after they got the positive rabies test, they had to go to the ER. Say, hey, we need a rabies shot, which, yes, is still a series of shots. But that first day, Ronj, how much do you think it costs to get a rabies shot?
With or without insurance?
With insurance.
With insurance, I bet it would be $30.
I know, that's what it sounds like. I honestly thought it might be free because it's one of those things as a public service. It's not like billions of people are getting rabies shots. You're only getting them when you need them. So I actually thought it would be free. Well, here's the thing. Insurance does cover rabies shots, but not if they're arguing over if it's the pharmacy or the ER or the hospital who bills the rabies shot. So this couple had to pay out of pocket. The one-day bill for their rabies shots were, for the wife, $14,000 for her shot, and for the husband, $22,000 for his shot.
Come on, dude.
I don't know why these cost more. Do they charge you per pound? Like how much of the rabies shot you need?
It seems arbitrary.
Plus, they had to get three more rounds of shots at $500 each out of pocket. Quote, it's been an insurance nightmare the last 4 months, because apparently the pharmacy said the hospital is responsible and the hospital said the pharmacy is responsible. So while they're fighting, this poor couple who just had to capture 9 bats in their house, had to get rabies shots, have, what is that, $36,000 plus 39, almost $40,000 of shots.
First of all,
$40,000.
There are like 80 things wrong with this. First of all, it shouldn't cost $40,000 for shots. Just shouldn't. There's no reason it should cost that much here. But we have a problem in this country with the way healthcare is administered and how much it costs. And I think we all know that. Secondly,
big rabies is screwing us over.
I do feel like we talked about this the other day when it comes to navigating big programs like Medicaid, mm-hmm. or, you know, the new rules that are going to be coming about, and how it seems intentionally confusing so that people can't get benefits. This feels like a very similar thing where you have these two entities fighting over who really has to pay for it. It's like it's almost like it's intentional. It's almost like it's intentionally confusing and cumbersome, and they make you deal with it almost like they don't want you to get care.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want you to come to the hospital. It's almost like they want you to not ever be well. I don't understand why things are like this, other than there are people who are benefiting from it, like a very small percentage of people.
Yeah.
Monetarily. And that's all it is. But the rest of us are getting screwed in the meantime.
Well, if you work for Mercy Pharmacy or Mercy Hospital, I wasn't going to dox anybody.
Get it together, man.
But hey, can you please let us know, Mercy Pharmacy or Mercy Hospital, which one of you bills the insurance company for the rabies shots? Because this poor couple, 9 bats in their home, had to shell out $40,000 for rabies shots.
It's nuts.
So quick PSA, in case you're wondering, oh my gosh, I think I might have bats. There are a lot of bats, by the way, I think in like rural Missouri, because 2 of my friends in college had bats in their apartments, like whether one went to Truman and one went to Missouri State. They had a ton of bats. At any rate, do not attempt to capture a live bat. Confine it to the room where it was discovered. Never release a bat found in a home if it was present where people were sleeping, or if it was in a room with anyone who cannot describe the nature and extent of their exposure.
Should you, if you catch the bat, should you bite its head off?
Definitely not.
Okay.
St. Louis County residents should call DPH Animal Care and Control immediately so animal control officers can collect the bat for rabies testing. This couple, we should all be grateful they did the right thing. If you think you may have been exposed to a bat, St. Louis County residents can call DPH Communicable Diseases Investigators, 314-615-1630. To discuss the need. I got swooped by a bat once and almost got a rabies shot just out of extra precaution. Also, I might have tetanus because I was at Lowe's yesterday and I grabbed something that had a staple and it went through my thumb and I started bleeding. I didn't see any rust, but tetanus is one of my biggest fears.
I was at Menards the other day and I cut my finger on a box.
Is that because we don't know how to do
I don't know.
Home
I just picked
stuff?
I was like, wow, I really sliced myself here.
Really?
Yeah, and then I cleaned it out. I hope I'm okay.
That's how I tried to squeeze the tetanus out.
Yeah, and then I think that's how that works.
Then I used some Purell.
By the way, what do you think Bruce Wayne's rabies shots bill is? That guy's got a million bats in that cave.
He doesn't have bats in the cave.
Yes, he does.
I don't think he does.
There are bats in the bat cave?
Yeah, there's no bats in the bat cave.
Okay, are you kidding me?
No. He's got a bat car, Batmobile.
Yes. Have you not
seen... And he has his butler.
Have you not seen any of the Christian Bale Batman movies?
Listen, Adam...
He falls into the hole, and there were bats in the hole, and then through the hole, he found the cave, and there were a bunch of bats in the cave, coexisting with him, with his technology. They were all down there.
Adam West is the only Batman that I recognize.
Well, okay. That is your fault. Harambe has texted in and says, St. Louis, we are the Atlanta Falcons, blowing a 20-plus point lead in the Super Bowl. That's not
no,
true.
No, that was when we didn't pick the trains. That's what he's talking about. When we said the riverboat is the way of the future.
Back 150 years ago or whatever.
The old confined north-south mode of transportation dependent on water. Yes, that's the way of the future.
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji with you. Check in with us, won't you? 314-436-7900. Hey, were you smart enough to buy NVIDIA? Or were you smart enough to buy enough of it? Let us know. Also, a rule which was going to benefit all of us has been struck down by the courts. We are going to talk about that, and it sucks. Next on KMOX.
I feel like 70% of my friends have reached out to me or just in the middle of a conversation, told me some story on how they almost bought NVIDIA. Or they almost bought a lot of NVIDIA. And man, if they had only pulled the trigger and spent that money, that they would be doing pretty well. And they would be because NVIDIA became the first company to reach a $4 trillion market valuation. I think, Ranj, it was you who said yesterday or 2 days ago that it's up like... I don't know, 4,000%. I don't know if you were making up that number or not.
So for me, I don't know where... Look, I'm not an expert when it comes to this stuff, but a few years ago I decided, I had never really bought stocks individually.
Yeah.
And I decided I would do a little bit of that. So I did put a small bit into NVIDIA because I just read something about, hey, this is one of those companies you want to invest in now. This was in, I just looked it up, January of 2021. So I did. Mm-hmm. I bought a little bit, and I think a week went by, and I bought a little bit more. It is up since I got it.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I'm telling you, I'm like your friends. I wish I had put more into it. 1,100% it's up. 1,100. I don't know how that lasts. I wonder if it's going to be one of those things where people, if they had Apple stock back in 1990, you know, if it exploded to the point where they are, you know, they've got millions now. I don't think it's going to be like that in the future. But when you hear a story about, you know, a company like this or a company like Amazon, that if you invested early in it, every time you hear one of those stories, your thought is, oh, I should have done that. Yeah. I should have put money into that. Why didn't I do that? Or Microsoft or any of these others? Because if you just look at the performance of some of them over time, it's unbelievable how much money you could have made. So I feel like, you know, it must be really nice to already have a decent amount of money that you could just play around with. and then have a person who kind of knows what they're doing and says, hey, you should try this stock or you should try that. And it doesn't really hurt you if it fails. But then you have those times where it hits.
So I think a lot of people do what you did, which is, and some of the people I've talked to, they almost use their stocks the way I envision sports betting. I don't, obviously I don't do sports betting, but they use small amounts of money. It's not life changing, but they like to follow it. And they have apps on their phone and go, oh, I'm up this much from yesterday. And of course, as we talked to Dave Simons, One Private Wealth, that you shouldn't change your stocks every day, but they kind of view it like a game because they're not playing with big dollar amounts.
Yeah.
And they just kind of keep track of it. And I do think it's a lot of those people as well who are looking at NVIDIA thinking, oh my gosh. Now, analysts from the investment firm Loop Capital, they think NVIDIA's market cap could reach $6 trillion by 2028. But I would love to hear from people if you have had this conversation as well, like, oh my gosh, I had an opportunity. I should have bought it. You know, when I first heard of it, I knew the future's in AI, but you just don't pull the trigger.
Right.
Because yes, a lot of people almost bought NVIDIA, but I do think we have about 200 of those almost decisions every day.
What was that? What was the one that Dave Simons had that he said he sold and it was worth?
I thought it was...
Was it this? I don't think it was.
No. It was Warren Buffett's company.
Oh, Berkshire Hathaway.
Yes.
Yeah, because he told us about it, that he was invested in it. And
at the very beginning.
Very, very beginning. It would have been worth like $800,000, just like one share or something crazy
like that. So 314-436-7900. If you need to, you can commiserate with us.
Mm-hmm.
Commiserate. I was, when NVIDIA was popping around and there were other stocks at the very beginning years ago. I was tutoring with the West County Christian Home Educators. So I wasn't working with investment money at the time.
Right. That's a little different.
I mean, the West County Christian Home Educators, they are my favorite group of people, but you're not going to become a billionaire.
I heard they're huge lobbyists and they spend a lot of money on politicians.
Big homeschool.
Do you know what else is funny? I was just kind of looking at some of the, I bought a few individual stocks and one of them I did, which, I thought I was being brilliant. And turns out I was. I guess I just needed to have put more into it. Same deal. Mm-hmm. But it was during COVID when nobody was traveling. And so I bought Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. Okay.
Okay.
That's up like 900% since I got it. So I it's just because everything is down right now. But, dude, it's all going to come back up. People are going to start traveling again. Cruises aren't done forever, and this was even after Poop Cruise.
And the thing is, whenever
the Royal
Caribbean
was not the Poop Cruise, that was Carnival. So, different.
Yeah, whenever they say, and Carnival's always been kind of a risk.
Does seem like a great time until the toilets overflow.
Yeah. I will say, whenever they say that whatever industry is done forever, they're never right. During COVID, when they said, we'll never hug again, people were hugging during COVID. We'll never go on cruises again. That's not happening. No one will ever use salad bars. That's definitely not happening. Whole Foods, Schnucks, they've all got salad bars. We're all going back to that. We're all traveling. We're all on airplanes. It's really the things you're not expecting to end. Like, no one ever said, Ponderosa is going out of business.
I think it's great to be able to do that, to be in the position where you can say, I'm buying the dip right now. But the reality is that the vast majority of people are not in that position where they don't have the money, the extra money, especially during a downturn to I'm going to put this money in stocks. Like, they probably need it day to day to live.
I think, though, there are a lot of people. You do not have to be a millionaire to buy stocks.
No,
a lot of people,
you're
I said, play it in small numbers.
But there are some people who really probably need every dollar. They just don't have the dollars to play around with. John is in Baldwin with us on KMOX. Good morning, John.
John.
Hello, John. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead, John.
Okay. Well, I said way, way back when Netflix came out, at $5 a share, I bought 1,000 shares of Netflix. And if you look, and so I thought, the goal of stock buying was double your money. So when Netflix got to $10, I sold it all. And if you look today at the symbol, what Netflix? Yeah, what's Netflix today? I think 536 or something, 1,000 shares of Netflix.
So, hold on.
$500,000.
So it is right now.
Right now.
Okay, I can't do this math. Yeah, maybe John is. I don't. Actually, John sold the stock, so maybe he's not smart enough to know this. John, $12.50. Yeah. The stock is worth one share is $12.50. $1,250.
Oh my God! So 1,000 shares would be 1,200 thousand, and I put in $5,000.
Oh, John.
Oh, John. This makes my stomach already kind of hurt this morning.
Sick
I feel
for
sick
you.
To my stomach. You're not from Canada, buddy. Are you, John?
He went back on
Minnesota, what? South Dakota.
I was going to say, I was like, I could hear it in your accent.
I knew it was something up north.
I knew it was up
sure.
north.
You betcha, by golly, don't you know.
I love it. I heard that accent. I thought
I knew it was from up north.
I've heard that accent before, and usually it's when I'm on the ice.
Tom and Glenn Carbon, you're on KMOX.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, sir. What's up?
Well, let me give you a story about NVIDIA. This is a good story. I bought some shares probably about, 3 or 4 years ago. And then I doubled the number of shares. And NVIDIA split 20 for one. So you got 20 shares for every one share you had. I ended up with 1,500 shares. And you can do the math. And I think I only invested like $30,000.
Okay.
Oh,
and
God.
It's now it's worth over $260,000.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of stories like that.
That's insane.
That's brutal.
Wait, did
that's
he get
brutal.
It? He's
no,
a, he, oh, he did sell it.
I think he sold it.
Oh. Wow, I am feeling sick to my stomach. You know what this is? This is it's very scaled down, but this is a scaled down version of the guy that lost the password to his Bitcoin and would have like...
And he has one try left.
Yeah, like $500 million.
That is and I don't know the most recent update on that story, but for people who don't know, there is a guy who has, I don't know how much, like $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. And because there's no customer service, you can't be like, hey, I lost my password. Help me recover my password. It's the kind of thing that you better remember or you lose it. Like it's gone forever. And he has tried to get in enough times where he only has like one or two tries left or he gets locked out forever. And it is hundreds of millions of dollars.
I don't know how you would live with yourself.
I don't either.
I mean,
what about the guy who bought the landfill because he threw out a thumb drive with crypto on it? And he's got a lot of money, but he was trying to buy this landfill because he wanted to go through the landfill bit by bit to see if he could find this stupid thumb drive.
I don't know how you live with yourself. At any rate, 314-436-7900. Let us help you live with yourself if you did not buy NVIDIA or another stock, or maybe you did and you just want to brag like you're one of the smart people who did that. We'd love to hear from you. I do, as we head to a break, Ronj, I just want to say we have bad news. The click to cancel rule, which was proposed under the Biden administration, would have required businesses to make it as easy for consumers to cancel unwanted subscriptions and membership as it was to sign up for them, meaning if it takes 2 clicks to sign up, it can't take any more than 2 clicks to
great law. This would have been a great law.
And the Federal Trade Commission proposed the changes. They were adopted in October. I was super excited about them, but a federal court has struck down that law, has blocked that law. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit said that the FTC made a procedural error by failing to come up with a preliminary regulatory analysis, which is required for rules whose annual impact on the U.S. economy is more than $100 million. So the FTC has said, no, we didn't need to come up with that preliminary regulatory analysis because we believe the rule's impact on the national economy would be less than $100 million, but an administrative law judge said, no, it will be more than $100 million. So anyway, the court is vacating the rule. Because it was a procedural thing, hoping that they bring it back around.
They have to.
Because I will say, feeling trapped and tricked into subscriptions and memberships, especially those that charge you, is one of the more frustrating things.
I just had this experience last week or 2 weeks ago when I was canceling. I'm not going to say what. I was canceling a service because I'm moving to a new place. And I had already subscribed to something different. And it was one of those things where you could do it online easily.
Yeah.
Hey, just go online. You can click, 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 and now you're in. You have this service. But if you want to cancel, it's click here and then click here. And then, oh, you have to call this number. Now I got to make a damn phone call. So I called the number. And I am on the phone with this person for a good 15 minutes. And the first thing out of my mouth was, I just want to cancel. I'm moving. I want to cancel. They're like, oh, well, what did you end up doing with your new service? I'm like, well, I went to this other place. I'm perfectly happy with them. That's what I'm doing. Like, well, I wish you would have called us. Why didn't you call us first? I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to do this thing. And then they were like, okay, let me pull up your account. Did you know that you can save this much if you do this and then bundle? And I go, listen to me. I know you're doing your job and you're doing a great job. So whoever listens to this phone call later to assess you to see how good of a job you're doing, Tommy's doing great.
You said this.
I said all of this.
Oh my gosh.
I said, I don't know what his name was, but I'm making up Tommy. Tommy's doing great, but whatever you're telling me, I don't want it. And he's like, okay, I know. I'm trying to pull up your account. I'm like, you have my account up already. It's up. You don't need to keep pulling it up. You're stalling me. I know what you're doing. I don't want your service anymore. Thank you. And he's like, okay, thank you, sir. But this was a good 15 minutes or so.
Okay, now this, I don't condone lying.
I should just go to the website, click, canceled, I'm out.
I don't condone lying.
It should be that easy.
But this will get you out of it. Say, listen. I live in my parents' basement. I don't have a job. Unless you can give this to me for $3 a month, it's a no. I said that one time, and that's how I got Lifetime Fitness to stop calling me.
Oh, well.
And they were like, okay. Because they wouldn't stop calling.
No, because this is what would have been. Well, what fitness provider do your parents have? I can save your parents so much money on their subscription every month. That's what would have happened in this phone call. I wanted to kill this guy.
Oh.
But he was just doing his job.
Yeah.
He was doing a great job. But again, this click to cancel thing getting struck down is nonsense. Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
I don't know if this is a did you see this or a late to the party. You know how you find things out way later than
everyone
else.
Yeah, I do all
else.
The time.
Or if I'm just an idiot. But did you know that Budapest... The city of Budapest in Hungary is two parts of the city, Buda and Pest, separated by the Danube River.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
I feel so stupid, but my friend is there now. You know, my big traveling group. My friend is there now, and she said, oh, yeah, the Danube is beautiful. We were in the Buda part of the city, and we're going to Pest now.
Pest? Doesn't it say Pest. Budapest?
Probably.
Over there?
So you knew this, Matt, because you were there.
Yeah, I can't remember what part I was in, though. But Buda I do remember the river splitting it, yeah.
Did you know that before you got there?
No.
Was it a school trip?
Yeah.
School trip.
It was?
Yeah.
Fifth grade?
No.
No, he was...
Through college.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So you
studied abroad?
I did.
Wow.
You study a lot of abroads, Ronj.
Whoa.
What?
Why in the hell would you say something like that?
I speak the truth. But at any rate, did not know that. Budapest.
I didn't either.
It's two parts
so
of the city.
So where's the hyphen? Shouldn't it be Buda hyphen Pest? It should be.
You would think so.
We need to talk to city
you
leadership.
You did hyphen, but you, with your finger, you made an apostrophe.
Well, that was a P.
Oh.
Buda,
anyway.
Yeah, hyphen Pest.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. I didn't know this. That's good information.
I know.
Amy...
It's insane.
Did you know that Paul McCartney's on tour? And
no.
Did you see that today he announced his North American tour for 2025? It will start September 29th in Palm Desert, California. Would you like to know when he's coming to St. Louis?
Never.
Yeah, correct. He is not coming to St. Louis, but he is touring between September 29th and the end of November.
So
he will play two dates to wrap up this leg of the tour in Chicago on the 24th and 25th of November.
Love.
You could go to Des Moines, Iowa.
That's not far.
October 14th.
I love Paul McCartney, but my question is he going to sing those dumb songs that he wrote that were like only sold in Starbucks for a while? They're real kitschy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The albums he came out with like 10 years ago. It's just him on like a ukulele, basically. It's just a little kitschy. People are going to want to hear Beatles songs and maybe Wings songs, but they don't want to hear the new stuff.
I don't know. I don't know these songs. I don't remember the Starbucks.
Okay, I'm going to get one for you.
Okay.
You're going to not like it.
Also, probably not. I love Paul McCartney, though. I think it's he's a real treasure. And
he
I don't
is.
Know how much longer we have with
don't
this person.
Don't bring that up now.
Did you see that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 17?
Okay.
Yesterday, it debuted. And they did an Abbott Elementary crossover, which I guess they did an episode back in January that I do not remember. I did not see it. So it was like, have you ever watched Abbott Elementary?
Nope.
Okay. I have not, and I have heard it is very funny. I know it gets a lot of awards and nominations and that sort of thing, but they did a crossover, which was pretty funny. And I think it was the second half of another episode, which I didn't even see the first half, but it was still good.
You know, there are a lot of sitcoms like that. I just saw something where Seinfeld, Friends, Rats, and another sitcom all lived in the same New York because there were a couple of crossovers.
But they didn't do crossover shows with anybody.
I don't think so. I think they just had characters make appearances. But yeah, Seinfeld, Friends, and something else where they had a crossover to show that they were still in the same New York universe.
Did you see, Livy Dunn, who mm-hmm. is the Paul. Girlfriend of Paul Skeens?
Well,
pitcher
Paul
for the
Skeens
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Is the boyfriend of Livy Dunn, the gymnast.
Yeah, she has made a lot of money in NIL over the last several years.
Yeah.
She probably has more than he does, quite frankly, at this point.
Quite frankly, we're looking into it.
But she tried to buy Babe Ruth's New York City apartment.
I saw this.
She said she was going to pay cash $1.6 million. And it was the week she was about to get the keys, but then the board association with the
like
building.
The homeowners, basically, association.
Yeah, the homeowners told her the day of, they're like, yeah, you've been denied. She's about to pay cash, which means the people who live there did not want her there.
Yeah, they didn't want the celebrity. They didn't want the added attention in the same way that some
it's
of the people.
It's Babe Ruth's apartment.
I know, but they didn't want her to be there because it's just going to bring noise and people and young men. Because she was like kicked out, I think, of some like gymnastics competitions.
Because of that?
Mm-hmm. There were so many young men there.
She
to
does
see her.
Get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But anyway, that sucks for her. But that would be cool to live in Babe Ruth's apartment.